A lot of eyes in China are also watching Li Na. She's a tennis superstar in China, even though tennis isn't a big sport there, at least not yet. She's got more than twice as many followers on Weibo as LeBron James has on Twitter. Li Na became Asia's first Grand Slam singles champion in 2011 when she won the French Open. And at 31, she desperately wants another title. She often gets grief from the Chinese media because she doesn't play the dutiful athlete competing for the glory of communist China. Brooke Larmer spent some time with Li Na. His profile of her appears in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine. You spent some time with her, as you said. What is she like as a person?
She's actually very funny. I think, you know, I followed her first at Wimbledon, where it was the middle of a tense tournament. She had just before the tournament kind of vowed to quit the game forever because she was going through a bad spell. And she was in a bit of a tiff with the Chinese media. So I saw her at the beginning in moments of tension. But when I saw her, when I followed her back to Beijing, I could really see kind of her true character shine because she's a very funny, outgoing, effervescent personality. And she's always kind of looking for the joke and willing to speak her mind. And I thought one of the most interesting things is that she's almost incapable of lying or saying something that doesn't seem true to her. So she's always going to give you the straight, unvarnished answer. And that's, I think, something I really appreciated about her and is unusual, I think, in finding in a professional athlete like that.
I mean, the way your story reads, I mean, she really seems to break all sorts of convention China-wise. I mean, she argues with her husband. You also write about her tussles with China's state-run media. What's the latest example of that?
You have to actually go all the way back to her relationship with the Chinese sports system, which was always tense and fraught with conflict. The system itself is a Soviet-style system that was created in the 1950s under Chairman Mao, really to make China strong again through its elite athletes. And they basically could cull athletes at a very young age, 5, 6 years old, into the sports system to train in gymnastics or table tennis or badminton or swimming. Her father was a part of the system back in the late 50s and early 60s. She was basically recruited into that system, pushed a little bit by her own father, who wanted her to fulfill his thwarted dreams. And she never felt like she had a choice. And so all along, she was kind of reluctantly pulled ahead, even though she was just such a fantastic athlete. And she actually, at age 20, just quit the game outright. She was number one in China, and something unheard of in China as an athlete, just quitting the game for almost 2 years before she was persuaded to come back. So she's always had this kind of tense relationship with official Chinese media, the Chinese sports system, and the government, because she's always wanted to go her own way. So when she's out now as a professional, she has actually been allowed to manage her own career, to hire her own coach, and to keep most of her earnings, which is very unusual in the Chinese sports system. They call it the fly alone policy, which she really was the pioneer in pushing for.
How did she do it? How did she persuade Chinese officials to let her go her own way? That seems like a tough one.
Yeah, it was very interesting because after she came back from her first retirement, as she calls it, she was starting to climb the rankings very quickly. And there were a couple other players with her pushing to have some more control over their career. And they all kind of approached the head of the Chinese Tennis Association and said, listen, if we are not allowed more freedom, more autonomy, we're going to quit. We're going to leave the system. And it didn't happen until after the 2008 Olympics, where there was a little bit more of an opening, where the head of the Chinese Tennis Association, to her credit, created this fly-alone policy, which allowed them to manage it. Of course, they had to pay for their own expenses, but they could keep about 88% of their earnings. So it was much different from before when they had to pay 65% of it back to the state. And this really was a radical change for all of these players, but especially for Li Na. Within a year and a half, she was already reaching the semifinals of the Australian, and then a year later was winning the French. So this really was the kind of the foundation for her rise in the last couple of years. But that relationship is still fraught, and she still feels that when the media asks her questions that are related to kind of her commitment to her homeland or to her home fans, she feels a bit prickly. She felt that way again at Wimbledon. I mean, I saw it after the third round match where she barely snuck through and really saved her career in many ways. But even then, in that press conference, the Chinese media was asking her to talk to her fans and explain herself to her fans, which is something that for her feels like China is still trying to take possession of me. And she just thinks that's too big a burden. You know, Yao Ming, when he went to the United States, was always said, you know, you carry the 1.3 billion Chinese on your back. Maybe he was a little bit bigger and could bear that on his shoulders. But Li Na says, no, I just want to be an athlete. I'm myself. I'm an individual. And she has this great dynamic personality, but she doesn't really want to have the burden of everybody's expectations on her, even though she does.
So how much is she making now? What is she worth?
she's doing very well since the French Open. And this is the real irony of it. As much as her relationship with China is fraught, she still depends on China. And if she were born in Ecuador or South Africa or some other country, she would not be as hot a commodity in terms of advertising and endorsements as she is now coming from China. So in addition to her earnings on court, she makes more than $18 million a year, which makes her by far the richest Chinese athlete and the number three female athlete in the world in any sport in terms of earnings. You can see this through the way that advertisers look at her, is that she has this appeal to youth in China. She's a bit of a rebel. She has the tattoo. She has this kind of attitude of going her own way. And yet it's the same quality that makes her great, but also rubs some of the people in official China the wrong way.
Brooke Larmer's article, Li Na, China's Tennis Rebel, will appear in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine and is already available online. We'll link to it at theworld.org. Brooke, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.